Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And we're going to go straight to our talking text line. An old buddy of mine, Ernest Harvey Jr. Turk from Camp Moolah out in Gray or in the Houma area. People know Turk there. And Turk, I thought about you right off the bat yesterday when I saw the news that Jalen Lucas of Terrebonne High School, you finished up because of Ida at Edna Carr. Was transferring in the transfer portal to Tulane University. But I know you remember this. First time Julie Boudwin tells me about J-Luke, okay? She was like, Mike, you got to go see him. You got to go see him, and he works out with Turk. So me and Coach Rod show up one day and in the workout, and, man, we were talking. I said, Turk, which one's J-Luke? And I'd seen him on television with Stan Gravois, but, man, I never met him in person. And you said, that guy right there. And I was like, Turk, man, you're trying to clown me. Man, that little dude, there's no way. But, man, J-Luke, in my opinion, he's the most electrifying football player I have ever seen on the Bayou. So I'll get your thoughts on that and what Tulane is getting with Jalen Lucas.
Oh yeah, most definitely. I'm Coach Turk. I'm in Thibodeau area, of course. But you know, J-Luke is a very special kid, man. As far as the football field, I nicknamed him the World's Dangerous Man just because I feel like he's just that good. Real quick. Just giving the ball, rather is in space or he's hitting tiny holes, he's dangerous. And he's going to add another dynamic to the kick return game and the punt return game, too. So he's a guy that can play the backfield, and then he can come out the backfield and get to the slot and play receiver and get the mismatches against the linebackers because he's a real good route runner. I think he did that all throughout high school to polish up and be ready for those situations. So I think all around the board, Tulane getting a real good kid, first and things and foremost. Come from a great family. And another thing, he's a great football player that's ready to produce. He's not a guy that you're going to have to wait around for. He's ready right now. Put him in the game, and he'll make a play for sure.
I remember one game for Terrebonne. I think they had 56 snaps, and either he ran it or he threw it 55 of the 56 snaps. I mean, and if you see him, you say, how that little guy can make all those big plays, but he is electrifying. And I think what you brought up, the punt kick return game, I think is where he's going to make a very quick impact for Will Hall in the Green Wave.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's a game changer. I think, honestly, I think you should just give him the ball as much as possible, rather it's in a screen game, rather it's in the handoff game, whatever it is. Give him the ball and give him opportunity. Something special will happen. He's just that type of kid.
One of the things, and maybe you can refresh my memory, because I remember getting a phone call from Willie Fritz about him. Didn't he commit early to Tulane, and then he decided to go to sign with Indiana instead? But I remember Coach Fritz calling me about J-Luke.
Yeah, he definitely was committed to Tulane. That was the first thing he did. Tulane was one of the first offers he had, so that would make this move feel even more normal, you know. Of course, he had a lot of things on the table, but he just felt like Tulane was the love. And, you know, guard don't make mistakes. It came back around for him to play at Tulane, so he took advantage of it.
One of the things, too, is somebody just texted me this, so I'm going to ask you about it. Were you at the Lakers-Pelicans game last night? Wait a minute, because I know you a Clippers fan. Man, what you doing pulling for the Lakers? Come on now.
Oh, yeah, man. Me and Amik, we had a good time. We went and watched LeBron. Me and him, big-time LeBron fans. So we went there and enjoyed each other, enjoyed watching LeBron.
Yeah, boy, look, LeBron still got something left in the tank, huh?
Oh, he got a lot left, man. He got a lot. But I know we had to catch him because we don't know how much he got left. We don't know how long he will be doing it.
That's another great success story that Amik is also somebody that worked out with you. And, okay, Amik's not the biggest guy in the world. But, man, you talk about one tough guy and maybe the most instinctive player that I can remember from, you know, from our area of the country and Terrebonne Lafourche. And that, man, he is a magnet to the football. He's going to get beat by bigger receivers. Okay, there's nothing they can do about the fact that he's 5 foot eight and a half or whatever, somewhere in that range. But, man, you talk about a tough guy. And he's really extended his career so well, leaving the Raiders and going to Detroit.
Yeah, I love him in Detroit, honestly. Of course, he's going through free agency right now, but my hopes and thoughts are I hope he stay in Detroit, because I feel like Detroit has gave him the opportunity to become the football player and the man he is. He plays a lot. He gets a lot of plays. He's learning a lot under Dan Campbell. Of course, they got a new defensive coordinator, but they believe in him out there. So I think it's a good situation in Detroit. Of course, like I said about Jay Luke, guard don't make mistakes. So wherever he lands, it's going to be a blessing. But just my thoughts, I would like to see him stay with the Lions.
Turk, one of the things I'll talk to you about is Mason Smith, because Coach Jenkins.
That's why I play good football.
Yeah, P. Jenkins sent me this. He said, Mike, Jacksonville this year allowed a franchise low 85.6 yards rushing per game. And the Jaguars are only the third team since 2000 to not allow a 75-yard rusher in a single game in an entire season.
And, you know, Mikey Turk, I have a question for y'all. It seems like he's been a better pro than he was at LSU.
You're exactly right.
I agree.
100%. 100%. Sure, I was just about to say that. Mason Smith is a kid that, you know, a lot of people felt like he didn't produce on the field at LSU like they expected, but he fell into a great situation in Jacksonville, and the team is young. They're blossoming, and he's going to learn so much and be so much of a better football player up there. So he's blessed. I'm proud of Mason.
He sent me a pitch he took with Coach Jenkins. He went to that defensive line camp. No, it's seminar. They got about 80 defensive linemen all work with Pete Jenkins and a guy that Bobby knows pretty well, Henry Thomas. They work out in Dallas, and he was like, hey, Mike, I found the old man. I found Coach Jenkins here, and they worked together for 3 days. And Pete told me, Mike, I think somewhere down the line, Mason, all that talent and that physical ability is going to come together as one. And he said, I think he's real close to it now. And we saw the growth in Mason Smith this year.
Yep. Just got to stay humble and keep grinding. You know, put your best foot forward every day and attack and be a football player. Attack the day like the greats do, you know. Learn from everybody you can learn from and be motivated. He got to stay motivated to stay at a high level and playing on the level that he is in the NFL, you know, because everybody wants to get there. And it's top-class athletes out there.
Chaz Preston will be the last one. I know you work with Chaz for a little bit. Yeah. And he's also in the transfer portal. And I think Coach Summerall's kind of eyeing him up at Florida.
That's my bet, you know, Mike. I let these guys, you know, I don't really get into it. I like to be surprised when they announce it. But, you know, I didn't write down in my book that I think he's going to go to Florida. But he got a lot on the table, man. Shaz is a great athlete, too.
Turk, thanks so much for joining us. Man, you one of the great success stories on the Bayou. And, man, I appreciate everything you do for so many out there. And always a pleasure to have you on, my man. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate you and Bobby, Mike. It's a blessing.
All right, thank you.
That was Ernest Harvey Jr., runs Camp Moolah on the Bayou. And if you're a top athlete, guess who you go work out with? You go work out with Turk, man, because he gets you to the next level. I think he's got 5 or 6 NFL players from the Bayou that have played in the National Football League. And, Bobby, since maybe in your days, that was the last time that happened.
No, if you don't have the right training, you'd be lucky to have one. No, that all comes hand in hand. You got to have the physical ability, but you have to have the right training, the right mindset. And Ernest Harvey Jr. is one of those guys leading the way for him.
Thank you, Turk. Appreciate it. We'll be back. We'll have on with us Wilson Alexander covering the LSU football team. And Wilson's been busy like everybody else. We'll have Wilson on with us right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Wilson Alexander's tied up with a story right now. We'll get him on in a few minutes. We'll do our triple option feature right now. Bob, I'll throw it to you now.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm a little bitter going back when the Saints had to go on the road at Seattle. I don't know. We got the best record. Why are we going to play Seattle? And the Seahawks ended up winning. Now, the shoe was on the other foot, and I'd be like the Panthers, and you hosted a home playoff game because you won the NFC South. But realistically, come on. Isn't the Rams the better team? So I think Carolina should be going there. But then that's what I'm going to talk about. Look, last season, the Lions proposed a playoff seeding should be based on winning percentage instead of automatically placing division winners in the top 4 spots. Now, NFL voters voted against it in May because a majority valued the importance of a team's winning their division and getting to host a home game. Even Steelers coach Mike Tomlin said, like, I'm a division purist. Yeah, what's pure in today's society? But anyway, so that's what Mike Tomlin said. Of course he said that. They get the, you know, they get a game at home. So, you know, the league will likely revisit this idea after a second straight season in which three teams with better records will play on the road during the wild card weekend. The 49ers are 12-5. They have to play at the 11-6 Philadelphia Eagles. Like I mentioned, the Rams are 12-5, have to play at Carolina, who's 8-9. Come on, now, think about that. Now, look at the Texans. 12-5, they play at Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 10-7. Last year, the teams with the better records went 1-2. Now, the Rams and Panthers matchup will be the ninth time a road team in the playoff has at least four wins more than the opponent. The teams with the better records are just 2-6 in those games. So I don't, to me, I think it should, and I can be objective on this. Again, I'd be selfish. I'd say, oh, if the Saints won a division, you want to host a game. I think it's how you play, like next year, you know, we play in the AFC North, NFC North. So it should be your record. I think you should reward winning and getting to host a game. I don't know. How do y'all feel about that? Y'all comment on that because I think
it should go by record. That's just my personal feeling about it.
That's what I think.
It's just tough to me because all of a sudden then winning your division doesn't mean anything.
No, well, it means you're winning games.
You're in the playoffs.
You're in the playoffs,
no,
sure.
Yeah. Like Carolina. No, okay. So what? You don't get to host a home game. You're in the playoffs. You're 8-9.
But you know who's dead set against any change? Jerry Jones. And he has a lot of clout because he feels as though I want to win the NFC East and I get that home game.
Yes. I don't know if y'all saw this today. I think Jerry Jones made a statement that, I mean, he got to win. He's getting up in age, obviously. And then he says, no, my goal is right now, he said this, is to be the number one owner with the most Super Bowl wins. Well, that ain't going to come to fruition.
You got a lot of catching up with Mr. Kraft.
That ain't going to happen. No. That's delusional. That's an old man statement.
What's Jerry have, two?
Or is it three? Does he have two or three?
Three.
Three, yeah. No. Dallas, they're not even state champs. They're not even better than the Houston Texans right now.
Oh, right, go Houston.
Not even close.
Yeah. That's why, I love nothing more. I don't have a dog in the hunt. And the Houston Texans, they got a chance if C.J. Stroud plays well. Look at their defense.
Their offensive line is bad.
If you would let the Texans somehow win a Super Bowl or something, Jerry Jones, I'm glad for Houston. No, he wouldn't. He would hate that right in his own state.
When you look at the Texans' defense, that is as impressive a group as you're going to find. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson coming off the edge. Whoa. And those corners, Lassiter on one side, Stingley on the other. You got problems. And then Petrie, who's got some family roots here in Louisiana.
Yeah.
He grew up in Texas, but he got some family roots.
With the Baylor, but that's a Cajun name, Petrie. Exactly. Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
Steve, go ahead.
I was going, right now, we know Pelicans basketball has been struggling, and I was getting into LSU hoops, women's and men's, and we got into SEC play. And both teams are struggling right now in a terrible loss for the men last night to South Carolina. Coach Matt McMahon went off as well saying, oh, I didn't have them ready to go, so that's on me. But criticized defensive effort, emphasizing you can't give up 50 points in the first half on your home court and you can't allow 10 made threes in a half on your home court. They're now 0-2 in SEC play.
Well, they did fight back, though, Steve. Weren't they losing by like 26 and they got within 18
South
points?
South Carolina's not very good.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
I mean, Gamecocks now.
But we're not talking about the women's program at South Carolina.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking about the men's.
That win made the Gamecocks now 10-5 on the season.
Yeah,
exactly. And LSU's still 12-3. But, man, the SEC slate already has been a struggle for them. And next up, they're at number 11 Vanderbilt on Saturday. I was dreaming. I was hoping. I told Charlie, I just want to talk LSU in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and I think it was kind of like tournament or bust for Coach McMahon because I think they've given them enough time.
And they've spent a lot of money. in the offseason in the transfer portal.
Well, you can spend a lot of money. You got to get the right people. You got to spend on the right players.
That's football, basketball, whatever it is. That's why I think in this recruiting time frame and getting the right people, the one thing you got to give Lane Kiffin, and no matter what you think about him, he made the right personnel decisions at Ole Miss.
Look what
he pieced together there.
Without a doubt.
In that three-year kind of total of people he was able to bring in through the portal. Man, he was way ahead of the curve. Long before Brian Kelly would embrace it, Lane Kiffin did.
Yeah, and Lane we trust. And Steve, while you look, because you have seasons, and we got an NBA team, and you got LSU, Tulane, whatever, basketball, you look UNO, whatever. But it's almost at the point right now is that who's a champion and who you definitely going to have interest in?
LSU
and,
baseball?
Yes, and in February. You know how it kicks off the end of February? And it's like, that's what it looks like it's coming to, not March Madness. No, it'll drive you mad.
March Sadness.
Yeah. It's exactly. So
if you say like my neighbor said, man, I can't wait for LSU baseball.
Yeah, exactly.
Charlie agrees.
Yeah. All right, guys, we come back. Hopefully we'll get Wilson Alexander on with us covering the LSU football Tigers. A lot of things coming and going in Baton Rouge right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL, Mike Dettey along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. It's time now for our latest on LSU football and the transfer portal. And it's all brought to you by the spirit of First American, a banking tradition since 1910. Does a great job covering the LSU Tigers for the Advocate, Times-Picayune, Wilson Alexander. And I know one thing, Wilson, you don't have enough hours to sleep because, man, everything changes so quickly. Especially with Lane Kiffin in tow, and I'm going to give you some advice. This is just the first chapter of a really long book with Lane in the transfer portal, but, man, it's been wild. And where they've really hit Wilson so far has been at wide receiver. It was an area where I know he talked about redoing that wide receiver unit, already have signed four, and I think he will sign one more before it's all over with and add a fifth wide receiver through the transfer portal.
Well, good to be with y'all tonight, and sorry I missed you a few minutes ago.
That's all right, brother.
For that. So sorry about that. You know, he has really started off by attacking that wide receiver position, and that was a very big need for this LSU team that at the moment only has two wide receivers coming back who have not declared for the NFL draft or left through the transfer portal at this point. Obviously, bringing in three high school signees, you have some people coming into that room, but LSU needed to sign quite a few transfer wide receivers, and they have done that so far with Jace Brown, Trey Brown, Jackson Harris, and Eugene Wilson today. And like you said, they probably aren't done. They've got another wide receiver on campus today, a transfer from West Florida. And a lot of these guys, pretty productive over the course of their career at one time or another, especially with just big play ability. It seems like most of them have averaged a pretty impressive yards per catch during their career, and particularly Trey Brown and Jackson Harris come to mind with that. They were both top 10 nationally this past year in yards per catch, but Jace Brown from Kansas State has done that too. And all of a sudden you look up and LSU has added some talent here at wide receiver, some guys that it likes, and now it needs to go find the rest of the offense.
All right, I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question. What happens at quarterback? I think we all thought yesterday, man, they come to a deal with Leavitt, and while they watching the basketball game, man, the news breaks with Damon Williams, University of Washington quarterback. He was a commit to Kiffin at one time at Ole Miss. Agrees to a NIL deal, but who knows what the hell that means today. I think legally you can't force him to do anything other than maybe to pay for some financial damages. But where do you see this kind of working out between it? Well, my thing with Sam Leavitt going to Tennessee, I think they've got three quarterbacks already on the roster. So kind of sort this out from what you've been able to gather. What happens here at the quarterback position for LSU?
Well, I think a lot of it is going to hinge on Damon Williams. This is somebody who LSU has been interested in for a while, and now that he is announcing his decision to transfer, certainly that interest and pursuit kind of ratchets up a little bit. But it does get complicated here with Washington pushing back on Damond Williams' intention to transfer and saying that they are at least reportedly going to enforce his revenue sharing contract. And they say that's a binding agreement that might include a buyout of some kind or may not allow him to actually technically enter the transfer portal. Although we have seen a few examples in the past of guys, you can just sort of unenroll in school and enroll at another school and sort of technically, I guess, would be a walk-on in some way. LSU, though, would have to find a, you know, would certainly make it worth his while in another, you know, areas to set up an NIL deal. So I think Damond Williams kind of becomes the focus here, and we'll see if that changes because, I mean, you know, Miami's in the market for a quarterback. Oregon is probably going to, or well, maybe in the market for a quarterback. It depends on what Dante Moore does. So, and, you know, and Sam Leavitt is continuing to evaluate his options by going to Tennessee, and we've also heard Miami just sort of floated around with some of these guys, even though they haven't taken visits there yet. And obviously Miami is still, you know, in the midst of the college football playoff too. So I feel like Damond Williams becomes the focal point a little bit because of the history there with Kiffin. We know LSU is interested. We'll see where this ends up though. I'm fascinated to see whether or not it ends and we reach a conclusion by the end of the week or if it takes longer than that.
Now, Wilson, when you look at the roster on both sides of the ball, you got the O-line, D-line, you got running backs, linebackers, secondary receivers, quarterback. What would you say, is this a fair assessment, correct me if I'm wrong, that you'd say maybe in the secondary that LSU's feeling pretty good where they're at because you look at the transfer portal, what comes about? And the question I have for you, I want you to comment on that. And then I look, that's when you hit a home run, Mansoor Delane. When you get him to come over from Virginia, was it Virginia or Virginia Tech? Virginia Tech.
Virginia Tech.
When you look at him and where he's projected, you know, to be a first rounder, I can kind of remember Derek Stingley Jr., first round draft pick in 2022. Look how he is at the Texans. But on LSU's roster right now, do they have another potential like NFL first rounder? When I look at Mansoor Delane, what he did this past season.
I would say that DJ Pickett might be that next first-round talent. I mean, gosh, you know, five-star recruit, played a good bit as a freshman, did some good things as a freshman, didn't have the kind of freshman season that, like, Derek Stingley had, but, you know, looks like, I mean, he comes in and is able to play solid football, and you hope now that he will continue to develop under Corey Raymond. And, I mean, gosh, he's 6'5", with really long arms. He's like a velociraptor or something. And now he's going to be a full-time starter next year, most likely. And him and P.J. Woodland are probably going to be those full-time starters. And so that's probably the one that I would circle as maybe the next first-round corner in this LSU secondary.
Wilson, I think for everybody, quarterback certainly because of the position and what that holds is – on everyone's mind. But the second thing is, man, what about offensive line play? Oh, my goodness. And I thought the best guy of the bunch, talent-wise, was Kerryus Kern, and he heads, he's going to go to Ole Miss. And you've lost some other pieces there. That hasn't been an area. It looks as though maybe they've come to an agreement and Braylon Moore would return to the team at center. But how do you piece together that offensive line, which was like two words last year, lousy? I mean, they weren't good at all. And so kind of where all this comes into play here, and I'll ask you about one guy in particular, Lance Hurd. Have you heard anything that maybe they would reach out to Lance, who started his career at LSU and then goes for a couple seasons to Tennessee, and then he throws himself into the portal? So you look at kind of how they're going to piece together this offensive line for LSU in 2026.
Starting with Lance Hurd, I haven't heard it that yet, but I am also interested to see if something develops there. It's been really quiet on the offensive line front here for LSU, and it's interesting, right, that a lot of these guys who have transferred away from LSU have now signed with other SEC programs. I'm going to be really curious over the course of their careers to see if they're able to be developed into – starters and have success and go on to get drafted, because like you said, it just wasn't there this past season. And now LSU's got to completely rebuild. And okay, you like looking at Braylon Moore coming back, look, you know, Weston Davis obviously briefly enters the transfer portal returns, but he struggled a good bit last year. Are you ready for him to be a starter again? I don't know. And so they got to go and sign probably four guys who can start for you on the offensive line, or at least be good enough to do so and compete. And we haven't heard a whole lot of names, really, for LSU. There was an offensive lineman from Minnesota who came in on a visit this week, but he has barely any experience in his career. And there was some chatter about maybe Wilkin Formby being somebody who LSU was going to go after because of his relationship with Eric Walford, the new O-line coach, but he ends up committing to Texas A&M today. So we got to see where this thing develops, and there hasn't been things have been going on secretly behind the scenes that we just haven't heard about yet, but we just haven't really heard too much about the O-line at this point.
They did get a punter today in Hayden Craig, who was at University of Florida. I'd like for you to give us a few comments from what you know there, because I still think that that hidden yardage is always plays big in a game. And so a little bit about that. And also, too, the tight end position. That has been something that Lane's always sort of signaled out, that he likes to play multiple tight ends. And they did get one guy from University of Pitt, but I would think that's an area also that he'll have to address, adding either talent and talent depth to that tight end room.
With the punter, don't know too much about him because hasn't really played too much at Florida. At least he didn't as a freshman. And there's been 10 guys and they're getting jumbled in my head a little bit, so I apologize. But it's gonna be interesting to see. We haven't heard Grant Chadwick entering the transfer portal yet for LSU. Is Hayden Craig coming in to be the starter, or are they trying to add depth there? We'll see how that develops over the next couple of weeks if Chadwick is moving on, or if he sort of intends to stay and fight for that position. With the tight ends, Malachi Thomas comes in and gives you a compliment to Tre'Davious Green. And now LSU has four tight ends coming next year with Tre'Davious, Malachi, J.D. LaFleur, who redshirted as a freshman, and then incoming freshman recruit J.C. Anderson. And so four tight ends. You probably want another one if you can, especially just to help in the run game. But it's not necessarily as dire as some of those other positions on offense, because there is at least four bodies in the room as compared to, zero at quarterback or three at running back.
How much target do you think once Ole Miss's season's over with? I would think that's an area where they're going to try to land multiple players off that Ole Miss roster due to connections to Kiffin and also so many of the assistant coaches that came with him to LSU.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Winnie Watkins is a wide receiver who's sort of been linked to this staff, and it will be interesting to see if he comes from Ole Miss. But of course, I mean, Kewon Lacy was the big one who everybody thought that LSU was going to try to get to come to LSU with Kevin Smith, his running back coach, and Lane Kiffin. And obviously he ends up staying and re-signing at Ole Miss. And now LSU's got to go and find some more running backs in the transfer portal, somebody who can kind of complement and be a 1-2 punch with Harlan Berry. And that looked like it would maybe be Kewon Lacy. And now that he's staying, you got to go and add other running backs and find them elsewhere. And so I'm interested to see who else it is. Maybe there's some offensive linemen. Who knows? Maybe that's what we're waiting on. But it's not that was, obviously Eric Walford wasn't their position coach at Ole Miss, so you don't have that connection. And we'll see kind of how that develops as once the Ole Miss's season ends, that'll become a lot more clear.
Now, Wilson, look, we all know the SEC's domination in the 21st century. And when you look at it, but I think them days are over. Look, the last time the SEC went without a national championship, you got to go back to 2002. That's when they had that with a 4-year run, Florida State, Oklahoma, Miami, and Ohio State. And since then, you look at the SEC has played for national title at least once every 2 or 3 years. And in that span, SEC has won 14 or 22 championships. I think those days are over. That you would feel good if we can win one like once every, 4 years, 5 years. Right now, Ole Miss is the last hope. I mean, yeah, I think it's a different animal. What we're dealing with right now as far as who could truly be a national champion.
It very much is. The transfer portal and NIL has evened out the playing field, and the SEC can't stockpile talent the way that it used to. And now that talent's ending up elsewhere, and you've got a 12-team playoff. It's harder to make it all the way through, and so it's just become much more difficult to win championships the way the SEC did for so long. I don't know that it's going to be forever that they aren't dominant, but I don't think you're going to quite see what we did there for 15, close to 20 years like we did in the SEC. It is spread out, and now there are some other leagues that are stepping up and, you know, competing for those crowns.
Wilson, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always great insights, bud. Thanks a ton.
All right, Wilson.
Thanks, y'all, for having me. Have a great night.
All righty. Wilson Alexander does a great job. Always a ton of information he gives out to us each and every time he's on. That's our LSU football report, and it was brought to you by the Spirit of First American, a banking tradition since 1910. Keep up with all of Lane Kiffin's latest moves and breaking news about LSU football right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back. Finish it off in hour number two right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. And LSU has also announced the signing of Florida long snapper Mac Mahorin. So him, along with punter Hayden Craig, they are going to LSU following special teams coordinator Joe Houston. So that's part of our Spirit of First American, a banking tradition, LSU segment right here on the Big 870 WWL. We'll be back with more sports talk right after this news break.